I'm delighted now to welcome Marie Longsair. She's president and CEO of the Santa Fe Business Incubator. Sean O'Shea joins us. He's program director there. And joining us by phone is David Breaker. He's president of Santa Fe Innovation Park and co-director of the Place Sourced Impact Investing Project. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks. Great to be here, Mary Charlotte.
So let's talk about something that is coming up that we really wanted to let the public know about, and particularly potential entrepreneurs in this world. There's something coming up in September called Santa Fe Startup Weekend. What's that all about?
Yes, Mary Charlotte. Santa Fe Startup Weekend is the second startup weekend to happen in Santa Fe. And it is a weekend-long event that starts on Friday, September 19th at 5 p.m. And anyone who wishes to pitch an idea for a startup, or in the case of Santa Fe, an idea for a social enterprise or social entrepreneurship project, is welcome to register for Santa Fe Startup Weekend, attend on Friday, pitch the idea to a group of their peers, and then after the pitches take place, the group of people who've come and pitched, or the people who've just sat in the audience and listened to the ideas that they're most interested in, form teams, organically form teams around which ideas they think are the best or the coolest or the most likely to form into real businesses, real social enterprises, real nonprofits. And then they spend the weekend working on those teams. And we provide coaching, mentorship. We provide food, too. There's 7 meals that will be provided throughout the course of the weekend. And then it culminates on Sunday evening, the 21st of September, when everyone who's had the weekend to work on their ideas and their startups pitches their idea again, a more formalized, a more polished pitch, to a group of judges who will be made up of the incubator's president and CEO, who joins us here today, and New Mexico Angels, some of the New Mexico Angels, who are a seed funding investment group. And then also some people that David will bring along who are involved in the social enterprise entrepreneurship world. And they'll choose one winner overall who will win a collection of prizes. And then there'll be a social entrepreneurship tract, and they'll also be recognized as having a prize as well.
Now, David, talk about the social entrepreneurship part of it. What does that even mean?
Social entrepreneurship, in simple terms, means harnessing market forces in order to achieve social ends. So this can be a for-profit or nonprofit or hybrid structure that's actually irrelevant, but the point is that the entrepreneur and his or her team is committed to achieving certain social objectives and uses principles of business, finance, earned income, etc., in order to make that happen on a self-sustaining basis without being dependent on grant support or public support.
What are some examples of those types of companies?
I would say a great example, looking globally, is an initiative that was started in India to address the fact that millions of people were going blind simply because they didn't have access to affordable eye inspections and evaluations and really minimal treatment. And the solution to that was started up as a chain of for-profit social enterprise eye clinics that were able to deliver those services on an extremely cost-effective basis and are now self-sustaining and preventing blindness across millions of people. Locally, we're working with one good example, I think, of the type of partnership and cross-sector impact we're most excited about promoting in the area, and that's designed to address the need to thin the forests in our watershed to protect against the potential for devastating or even catastrophic forest fire, protect our water supply, at the same time train people in order to do that work, create some business and jobs around that, and then to create some businesses around using those products in order to make value-added products, even services, that can then be sold out to the market. And ultimately, this would involve a public, private, and NGO partnership to work together on that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, it sounds like both examples that you just gave, the Watershed and the eye clinics in India, sound like they could be nonprofit or for-profit, but you're saying the hybrid model is what you're looking at?
Well, we're particularly keen on promoting what we call triple P partnerships, which is public-private philanthropic. Now, that can be reflected in the structure of the business, or it may simply be the way financing is put together to support the business. And there are different ways to combine those three types of financing.
So the startup weekend, I mean, people make a pitch, and it's as if they were pitching, like they're sort of like practicing for pitching to investors.
In a way, they're pitching to the people in the room to come and join their team and to form an idea and a company and do some market research and present their idea as a viable business. What's exciting about a startup weekend is you don't have to have the idea. If you have an idea, it's a great place to come and build a team around that idea. But if you're a technical person, a programmer, a marketer, a graphics person, and you are interested in startups and in learning about startups, you can come and be in the audience. And if you see something that excites you, that interests you, people that are making a pitch, you can join them. And you have all weekend to work with them to coalesce around this idea. And the people that participate learn so much about what it takes to do a startup. So it's a great educational and training opportunity for anyone interested in entrepreneurship. In fact, one of our most successful companies right now in terms of publicity and getting attention is an app called Sportscast. Sportscast is an exciting app that just got recognized by Google as a professional app, and they're official now, and it's a technology based on Los Alamos National Lab technology. You can take a phone and aim it at a sports event, soccer game, whatever, capture the winning goal, push the button, the sportscast button, and it'll recreate the last 8 seconds, post it to your Facebook, post it online. It's like a time machine. It's amazing.
Amazing.
What's really amazing, though, is on the very first startup weekend ever in New Mexico in March of last year at the incubator, the lady who knew about the technology at Lano, a gentleman who'd started his own company, other people in marketing and programming came together during the weekend. They were strangers. They didn't know each other. And now they have a viable company that's attracted funding that has been in Las Vegas at the special Amazon Cloud presentation, and away they go. So anything can come out of a startup weekend.
It sounds like there's so much just team building, like how to work together, and all kinds of other skill sets that people learn or begin to learn in these weekends.
That's exactly right. I've been lucky enough to have been a part of Startup Weekend now 4 times. So I attended one in Anchorage, Alaska, 2 years ago, and then organized one, the first one in Fairbanks, Alaska, and co-organized the second one in Fairbanks, Alaska. I attended very briefly the initial pitches for the one that just happened in Albuquerque a month or so ago. Now we're doing the second annual one here in Santa Fe. And it's amazing how similar they are, no matter where you are in the country, but then also how different they are in the ideas that are presented. And that's the most interesting thing. And it is very true that no matter how you self-identify yourself, if you are strictly a businessman or a marketing person, or you're very interested in programming or design or whatever the case may be, you come there and you join a team and you spend the weekend working on it. And so much magic seems to happen in the way that these teams are formed and the way that they work together. And seeing that from the initial pitch, seeing that idea change and morph into something that's so much more polished and so much more, has so much more possibility of becoming a reality, is quite an interesting thing.
One of the coaches at our first startup weekend brought his teenage daughter, and she was so interested in what was going on, she sat in with one of the teams, and then she went back and convinced people to do the first teen startup weekend in Albuquerque. And I understand there's going to be one here in Santa Fe later in September. I'll let Sean talk about that. But another gentleman brought his whole entrepreneurship class from UNM Los Alamos down. So it's also a great place for age range particularly. It's really for college students can benefit anyway up to as long as you can walk and show up.
David, you've been involved in entrepreneurship for a long time. What are some of the mistakes that you see people making, like common mistakes that you could be taught in a startup weekend or whatever to avoid?
Well, I would say first and foremost, the mistake that I see taking place here, and this is really more from the perspective of the work I do in economic development strategies, is that we sometimes make the mistake of trying to imitate what's being done elsewhere rather than paying attention to what's unique about the Santa Fe area. And one of the things that I like most about Startup Weekend is that while it uses a template that's been well established internationally, and has been used successfully in many large cities and a lot of the usual suspects in technology-based economic development, et cetera, as Sean was saying, it really does rise up organically from the people in the room. And when you put together a group of people in Santa Fe who are interested in doing entrepreneurship or social entrepreneurship that can work on the challenges that we have in this region, that it really does organically reflect what are the concerns, values, attributes, constraints, and opportunities in the particular region. So it answers well to that problem.
What are some examples from real life of how things work differently in New Mexico than someplace else?
Well, we recently finished work on the economic development plan for Santa Fe County, and one of the things that we tried to focus in on there is that people come to New Mexico for different reasons than they go to San Jose or New York or Austin or Boulder. That there's a deep appreciation of our way of life here, our cultural and environmental assets, that there is something different about Santa Fe as the cliche holds, and that can be an asset rather than a disadvantage. That if we can figure out how to capitalize on those assets and actually encourage people who come here to start a business, run a business, and grow a business because they like those kinds of things, and even can use those attributes as part of the ingredients or the inputs to their business, then we can actually be ahead of the game or really playing our own game rather than trying to compete head-to-head with other technology-based centers.
What we're really talking about in a lot of ways is growing New Mexico businesses from a seed. I mean, this is the very first days. It's not just about getting mature businesses from other states and getting them to open something here.
I think it's pretty clear to most people that while recruitment, as it's called in the trade, plays an important part, it really can't be the key to the solution, especially in a place like this. And that encouraging entrepreneurs, or if you're going to recruit entrepreneurs instead of large companies who like what we have here and want to work with it and develop something unique and special.
And I couldn't agree with David more. I think that's and that kind of goes right to the heart of why Santa Fe continues to be a supporter of Startup Weekend and why Startup Weekend matters in places like Santa Fe, is that we get the opportunity to hear what ideas people have that are local, what ideas people have that could make an impact locally, and we can run with that. And then they have then exposed themselves to being able to take advantage of and have access to all the array of business assistance that's available in Santa Fe and New Mexico in general.
What types of businesses are best suited to this area? I mean, obviously we can't have things that have huge amounts of water as a necessity of their business. We can't in Santa Fe have businesses that require tens of thousands of people with one particular skill set or something like that, like you might have in a metropolitan urban area. What does work here?
Mary Charlotte, that's one reason that business incubation works And it works differently in every community because it takes advantage of organically what's there. In when the Business Incubator was launched 17 years ago under a joint program between the city and the Chamber of Commerce, the issue was that most of our jobs were centered around government or tourism. So the career paths for young people were either to go into government work or to work in retail shops, restaurants, and galleries. And so you saw a lot of young people leaving the community for careers and higher paying jobs and more opportunity. And we've addressed that, I think, with all the ideas that everyone had early on have really played out exactly as they had hoped. And the 150 some odd businesses we've worked with blend the unique aspects of retail and service businesses that we have in our community and growing those services, and I'll give you some examples, and commercializing technologies from our national labs and our universities. So we've had a very, what in our parlance in the incubation industry we call a mixed-use incubator, some technology, some non-technology. So you can drive around Santa Fe and see companies like Coquipelli Landscaping or 20th Century Art Appraisers or Advanced Tax Services, Nurses with Heart, Home Nurse Care, IT Connect, Positive Energy, a huge solar installer who's got more than 60 employees now. All of those companies started their business at the incubator over the last 17 years. What you don't see are the technology companies that have worked on pharmaceuticals, biomedics, IT, software, apps. Many of those have been very successful. Others have sold or licensed their technologies and then turned around and started a second or even a third company.
And I would like to say that I'm proud to say that I used Advanced Tax Services, Linda Ruckel, when she was a one-lady operation at the Business Incubator, and now she's got a successful business.
She owns two buildings and during tax time employs over 20 people.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're really good too. So you work with, I mean, this is the thing, when we talk about business and when we talk about public and private, it works best when we're always working together. You, for example, are working with the county.
Yes, we just signed a new contract to do outreach into the unincorporated areas and in conjunction with the county, really let the people that are out there outside of the city limits know about the services and programs that are available to them. Sean started a program called Runway. Sean and I both just this last year were certified in a program called Growth Wheel, which is used all over the country and all over Europe as a decision-making tool for people to grow a business that's existing or launch a new business. And so through this program with the county, we'll be offering people to come in and learn more about doing business in the county, ask questions of county officials, take a Growth Wheel training class, get coaching and mentoring with us, and learn about all the other resources like the Small Business Development Center, the West, microloan programs, SCORE, the Chamber, all kinds of things that are offered in our community for small businesses. Sean, do you want to add a little bit about Runway on there?
Oh, sure. Runway is our pre-incubation program, so it's for individuals who are still in the light bulb stage where they woke up that morning and the light bulb had just gone off, or they were singing in the shower and they had a great idea for a business, but they've never done anything like that before. So we have it's a three-month program that walks them through cash flow management, market validation, how to do a product, how to pick the right people that are going to be part of your team. And we're proud to be doing part of that or making it available to county residents as part of this new outreach to the unincorporated parts of the county.
There's also a bioscience lab, which I remember some years ago when that was just a glimmer in your eye or whatever.
We have been very fortunate to be the recipient 3 years ago of a Economic Development Administration under the Department of Commerce granted us $1.25 million to put in a shared bioscience lab. What we found at the time was that there were a lot of bio and molecular biology, pharmaceutical technologies that were being commercialized out of UNM, Los Alamos National Labs, other universities and labs. And we were getting a little cluster there in the incubator. And these people are starting up, and they can't afford necessarily to go and outfit a complete lab with all the biochem hoods and incubators and in our incubator, shakers, centrifuges, et cetera. And that a lot of them needed specialized equipment. It's also very expensive. So we went to the government and said, we think we can launch more companies, create more jobs, if we can give them this infrastructure and this facility and cut their costs. And just this spring, we opened that lab, and it's been operational with people in it for about 3 months now, mm-hmm. Sean. We have a number of users in their companies working on things like Alzheimer's, detection of brain injury after concussions. What's our newest one working on?
The newest company?
Mm-hmm.
The newest company, the incubator, is the Vizia Technologies, who works on putting RFID tags into hospitals to track the movement of patients and doctors and nurses so they can be more efficient and streamline their processes. For the lab, we have a bunch of people in the pipeline right now but it's top secret.
It's
top
secret. It must have been so challenging to build a building not knowing who was going to use it.
That is one of the biggest challenges of business incubation when you build anything, is you want as much flexibility as you can. So we built the incubator in two stages, a small 10,000 square foot, mostly offices and some warehouse garages back in 1997, 98. And it was taking off, and so in 2001 we opened another 20,000 square foot. And at that point, we had a better idea of the needs, but you build in a lot of flexibility in utilities, drains, electrical services, so that whoever comes into your building can adapt it easily to their needs without a lot of cost for the infrastructure changes.
Whether that be the incubator or the bioscience.
Right.
Well, So the Santa Fe Startup Weekend is happening September 9th, 19th through 21st. And as you kind of alluded to, Sean, this is something that actually happens all over the country.
It happens all over the world, in fact.
Yeah.
There's been 158 countries, I believe, have hosted Startup Weekends. So it looks almost like the General Assembly of the UN when you see all the different dots that are all over the world for the places that have held Startup Weekends.
And it must be really working because it keeps happening.
Absolutely. There have been here in New Mexico after we launched the first one in March of last year. They've been held in Las Cruces, and Albuquerque had their teen startup weekend. They've had two others. They've got more planned. I believe other communities around the state are looking at them. And the success has been such that people will come back more than once to because they meet interesting people and they form teams that go on to live sometimes beyond just the weekend and to collaborate on projects.
And let me add one thing. To the best of our knowledge, this will be the first time anybody's done a social startup component. So it's a first Santa Fe.
Well, this is an interesting component, and I was going to ask you, David, but really all of you, if you think that the social issues that we're facing, like climate change, like environmental destruction, like the various social ills and problems that we have, some of which are unprecedented and extremely dangerous, has the awareness of those things worked itself into the business community in a meaningful and productive way?
Yes, certainly on an international and national scale, and we think locally it's happening more and more. In fact, we think locally, the sense we're getting as we reach out into the community is that there is a latent demand, if you will, for a real social enterprise identification and support system within the community. If you talk to people like Marie and Sean at the Incubator, like the folks at the BizMix Challenge, like the Velocity Project, you'll find out that a large number of the businesses going through these programs are actually social entrepreneurs. They just don't yet self-identify in that way and are therefore not taking full advantage of the resources and assets that are available. So we think just by putting a spotlight on this sector and starting to help define what makes it work well, what are some of the best practices, and what are some of the resources that we're also working on making available, in particular financial capital, that we can jumpstart the whole thing.
Marie Longserre is president and CEO of the Santa Fe Business Incubator. Sean O'Shea is program director, and David Breaker is president of Santa Fe Innovation Park and co-director of the Place-Sourced Impact Investing Project. If people want more information, where should they go?
Mary Charlotte, if you would like more information on Santa Fe Startup Weekend, please visit santafe.startupweekend.org. You can also give the Santa Fe Business Incubator a call at 424-1140. And I would also like to thank the New Mexico Angels and the Santa Fe Business Incubator for being sponsors of Santa Fe Startup Weekend. And I would also like to welcome everybody to come Friday to hear our keynote speaker, Mr. Alan Weber, who is a co-founder of Fast Company Magazine and former gubernatorial candidate. But again, that's santafe.startupweekend.org.
Marie, anything else before we go?
So that will be September 19th. That Alan Weber will join us, and as Sean said, anybody's welcome to come out and hear. And any time anyone would like information about the incubator or the programs or other resources in the community for small businesses, we work with all the other programs, happy to refer people to programs, sources of capital, etc., that might be helpful to them.
Marie, Sean, David, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.